Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
The Bible text we're going to be using today, the main text, comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 73. And there's one thing I like about the book of Psalms, well, there's many things, but one in particular, is that it is constantly referring to the faithfulness of God. And that's something I think we take for granted too often. Sometimes our perspective and our perception of that faithfulness of God isn't what it needs to be. So let me introduce the message by talking about perception. Because the way that we view something often becomes reality for us. I want to start in this way. I was reading an article that was actually in a magazine called The New Scientist Magazine. They had compiled a list of actual statements that were given by elementary age students, like first through third graders, about their perception of scientific matters. So here's what some of them said. These are pretty good. One boy said this: water is composed of two gins, oxygen and hydrogen. He said oxygen is pure gin. Hydrogen is gin and water, which my daddy drinks a lot in the evening. Another said blood flows down one leg and then comes up through the other leg. One girl said rhubarb is a kind of celery gone bloodshot. Before giving a blood transfusion, another wrote, find out if the blood is affirmative or negative. One little girl wrote, to keep milk from turning sour, keep it in the cow. And my last one, I like this one, from a preacher's son. To collect fumes of sulfur, hold a deacon over a flame in a test tube. Sometimes a child's perception of reality is often much different than an adult. And I'm sure those perceptions of scientific matters will change as they get older. But the fact is that even as adults, we sometimes have a tendency to get mixed up as far as reality is concerned. I remember reading an article that took place several years ago at the Green Bay Packers training camp. And there was a football player who got his signals crossed. Jason Brookins was a running back from Tiny Lane College. And he was there. He was drafted in the seventh round. And he was there for the Packers. And he was wanting, of course, to make the team. Well, he misinterpreted the Packers' request for his playbook as a sign that he was cut from the team. After turning in his playbook, he jumped in his car. He began the long drive back to his home in Missouri. He turned off his cell phone so team officials couldn't reach him. But unfortunately, his perception was wrong. The Packers had no intention of releasing him. His name was simply listed so that his playbook could be updated in time for the next practice. Here's what had happened. There were video monitors that the Packers had sent out throughout the training camp. And they gave instructions to the players who were there. There were no cuts that day. Everyone had been instructed to bring their playbooks in for updates. Brookins didn't look at the monitors. All he knew was that a teammate had told him to turn in his playbook. He thought he'd been cut, when in reality he hadn't been cut. My whole point is simply this. It's easy for us to get out of touch with what is real. And when we lose our perspective of reality, we can say and do some crazy things. Our perception of reality will always affect our response to reality. And so sometimes I wonder if we have a tendency to lose our spiritual equilibrium as a result of faulty perceptions. Now, you've heard this before. Life just doesn't seem fair. That's because it's not fair. And it will not be fair until Jesus returns. You've heard this. Non-believers seem to experience more blessings than Christians do. That is also the case at times. So for us to find some spiritual stability, we need a reality check, and the best place we can go to get the right perspective is to listen to God's communication system, which we call the Bible. And so today, I want to look at Psalm 73, because it is God's playbook on what to do when we get our signals crossed. We're going to take a look at several verses as it relates to the faithfulness of God and as it relates to us being with Him. But before we do as we always do, let's ask for His blessing as we open His word. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your presence. Thank You for what we've been able to do already today. And now it's our opportunity to learn from the truth of Your word. And Lord, help us to realize it is truth. And Lord, as we learn and grow, we need to continue to be in it to know how to live for You. Lord, today we are so grateful, and I pray we'll be reinforced with this concept that You are always with us, that You never leave us or forsake us. The question is, are we always with You? And I pray You will help us to always be with You as You lead us through our lives. Lord, I need Your help to present this message in a way pleasing to You, and I pray it will be helpful and encouraging to all who are here and those who are listening. And we're going to give You the praise. Thank You for Your faithfulness, that You are indeed always with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give a very brief background to Psalm 73 so we understand what's taking place here. The writer was a man by the name of Asaph. Asaph was a mature, godly man who served as the choir director. We might call him the worship leader today. He was in the temple during the reign of King David, and he was the author of 12 of the Psalms that we have. And yet, as he writes this psalm, it seems he's ready to hand everything in. He's ready to head back home. He almost walked away from God because his perception of reality was mixed up. Asaph asked the question that many of us have asked at one time or another: why are the wicked successful while the righteous suffer? Have you ever asked that before? I have. I want you to notice a couple of verses from the beginning of Psalm 73 just to show how Asaph was feeling. So here's what he writes in verses 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he's struggling with that question that we sometimes struggle with. Now look down at verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth. He was struggling with that. But as we keep reading, Asaph knew that God was always with him. And along with that, this psalm teaches us what it means to always be with God. So here are four truths that we can gather from the end of Psalm chapter 73 to help us know that God is with us and whether or not we are walking with Him. So here's truth number one. We are held by God's hand. Take a look at verse 23, which says, Asaph writes, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand." So this is Asaph speaking, praying to God. And I love that first word there. He said, "Nevertheless." For you see, when Asaph wanted what the wicked had, he was eaten up on the inside. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at verses 21 and 22. Before he said, "Nevertheless," here's what he said. "When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, then I was stupid and ignorant. I was like an animal before you. Pretty open and honest, isn't it? Notice he said that he was embittered, stupid, and ignorant because he had allowed his envy of the wicked to get to him. He was viewing things only from a human perspective. And when he did, his heart became embittered. One of the things that separates us from animals is that they cannot contemplate the future. They live only in the present. And that is how Asaph was looking at things, only in the here and now. He was like an animal, he said, that had no concept of eternal realities. But then he writes, nevertheless, he recognizes he's walking with God and God is holding his hand. Now, I'm sure many of you can remember holding hands when you were dating. Do you remember that? Maybe you still do it. That's a good thing, to hold hands. It is simply a sign that we're in love with someone, which is very, very good, but God holding our hand goes even deeper than that. This verse, verse 23, shows us the fact of God's presence and protection. God is always with us, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we think, and he holds on to us. So when I read this text, I just couldn't help but think of a parent who is holding their baby or toddler in their arms. I mean, think about this for you moms and dads. This is what I thought about this week. Do you remember the first time that you put your finger into the hand of that little child of yours and your child just squeezed that finger? How does that make you feel? Pretty good, right? But I wonder how it made that baby feel. Do you think that little one automatically sensed that protection and love from holding on to your finger? I think so. Surely when they're held and they're cuddled next to mommy or daddy, they feel loved and protected and secure, and they're supposed to. Now think about this. Can this happen to us in regard to our Heavenly Father? Paul wrote in Romans 8, verses 15 and 16, he said, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, if you're a Christian today, you know you are a child of God. And when we recognize that God holds us closely, then we cry out, as Paul said, Abba. That word means daddy. Daddy. We have a heavenly daddy, a heavenly father. I still remember the time, it was way back in 1980. And I was first away from home for a few days. Deb and I had been married for a little over 5 years at the time. And it was the first time we had not been together. I had attended the Men's National Prayer Clinic in Grundy, Virginia. I spent 4 nights there. And then we went to Berea, Kentucky for a couple days of revival before I got back home. And I sure did miss Debbie. I missed our son Clint, our daughter Cassie. And when I finally got home, I want you to know it thrilled my heart to hear them say how much they missed me and loved me and that they were glad I was home, because I certainly missed them too. Don't you think that God, our Heavenly Father, would like to hear similar words from us? How do you think it makes him feel if we say, Daddy, God, thank you for being my father. I love you. Continue to be with me, Lord. Love me. Hold on to me. I love you. You think God likes that? Yes, he does. Here's what King David wrote, Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. David was confident that God would do that for him. May we always remember to thank our precious Lord for holding our hand, for providing for us and protecting us from the evil one. Second truth from the psalm is this: we are guided by God's counsel. First part of verse 24 says, "You will guide me with your plan." Some translations say counsel. The guidance we get from people today can be good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's a little bit odd. I remember reading about this guy who was traveling in Iowa and got lost. This was the time before GPSs and all that stuff. So he was driving along, didn't know where he was, and he drove up to this old farmhouse. He got out and he knocked on the door. And a woman answered the door, and so he asked her for directions to Des Moines. That's where he was trying to go, Des Moines, Iowa. And the lady was very sympathetic with him, said, oh, she said, I'm so sorry. I just don't know how to get there. I wish I could help you. She said, I don't have any idea how to get to Des Moines. So the man got back to his car and he pulled away. And as he was pulling away, all of a sudden he heard these voices yelling. So he looks in his rearview mirror and here's the woman with a man next to her. And they're like waving and telling him to come back. So he makes a U-turn. He wasn't very far away and he drove back. And the woman says, I just want you to know this is my husband. He doesn't know how to get to Des Moines either. So he says, okay, so he takes her out. We all need guidance and direction in life, but sometimes it's hard to get the right guidance, isn't it? The right direction. A preacher by the name of Roy Weiss, for 39 years, he was a campus minister at the University of Missouri in Columbia. He said one evening a guy knocked on his door and was lost, wanted directions. So Roy gave him directions, and then as he was ready to leave, Roy said this, there's more than one way to be lost. And then he proceeded to witness to the man about Jesus. I share that to say that the fact is, all people are lost unless and until they find the Lord. Once we become a Christian, it doesn't always guarantee we won't get lost occasionally in life. However, once we are in Christ, we shouldn't get lost in regard to life matters. And the reason for that is because God gives us guidance with his counsel. And listen to some other verses here in the book of Psalms that teach us this truth. Psalm 23:3 says, he guides me. This is David speaking to God. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. The question is, do you want God to guide you? How does God guide us? With his counsel, with his truth, which is found in his word. Very first two verses of the book of Psalms, chapter 1, says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is it that keeps us from going the way of sinners? God's word. I heard a preacher put it very simply many years ago. It is always right to go by the Bible. And that has not changed and will not change. It is always right to go by the Bible. Psalm 119, beginning verse 9, says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Many of you are familiar with that verse. Later on in verse 24, we read, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my advisors or counselors. So yes, we are guided by God's counsel. Third truth from this psalm. I love this one. We will be taken into God's glory. Look at what he says in verses 24 and 25. With your counsel, you will guide me with your plan, and afterward, receive me to glory. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And with you I desire nothing on earth. I think it's here in verse 25 that Asaph is finally at the point where God has always wanted him and us to be. If you cannot say what Asaph said with integrity this morning, your perception is more worldly than it is heavenly. Until we reach the point in our lives where we can say, God, you're all I want because you're all I need, then we're going to wonder, for example, why things here on earth isn't fair. Is God all you want? Asaph knew that nothing was more valuable than what he already had. Do you know that? And then in verse 26, he says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I want to go to glory, to be around God's throne in heaven. Don't you? No place on earth can even begin to compare to the heaven described in God's word. Listen to these passages that tell us in a very small but wonderful way what heaven will be like. Apostle John wrote in Revelation in this vision he received. Chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Paul said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself." Here's what Paul is saying here. When the human body starts to decay and give us trouble, a new body sounds mighty good. At least it does for me. Paul wrote in Romans 8, 17 and 18, he was talking about the fact that we are children. And he says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now, I think there's a common theme in all of these verses I just read. And that is, we get to share in the glory of Jesus. And I praise God today for glory land called heaven. One final truth Asaph mentions that will take place if God is with us and we are with him. And this is something we all should have the desire to do. We will tell of God's works. We will tell of his works. Look at verse 28. "But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me." He concludes by saying that he will stay near to God and his nearness is good. That word actually means sweet and pleasant. Asaph has learned that the closer we are to God, the less we'll be affected by the attractions and distractions of this world. And then he continued, "I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of your works." When God is close to you, and you are close to God, this will become the natural result. We will willingly share with others of the good works that God has done and continues to do for us. That will be the natural reaction of all Christians. Now, if you'll notice, in the beginning, the first several verses of this psalm, Asaph admitted he was struggling in his belief and whether it was worth it to follow God. He was envious of the wicked. And because of that, he wasn't telling other believers. He wasn't sharing his faith. Don't miss this point. If Asaph was disconnected with God, and it seemed like he was, at least for a part of his life, he could say nothing at all. Because envy is the enemy of evangelism. But in the second half of the psalm, he reached a different conclusion. Once he sees the destruction of the wicked, he no longer craves what they have, and now he can speak and tell the works of God. But listen, here's what I'm afraid happens too often in churches all over the world today. Many of us don't tell others about Jesus, not because we don't know how, but because we don't really believe that what we have in Christ is better than what others have. Worldliness is devastating to our witness because we secretly desire to be more like people who are lost than we desire that they be like us. We want what they have more than we want them to have what is ours in Christ Jesus. One of the best motivators for evangelism is simply to remember and reflect on what God has done and continues to do through his Son and our Savior Jesus. And once you understand that, once you know that God is always with you and you are walking with him, then you're going to think of other people who don't know Jesus. The people you go to school with, the people that you work with, the people that you're related to, neighbors, friends who don't know Jesus. And every single one of us here today no people in our lives who aren't saved yet. So let me ask you this. Are you attracted to their lifestyle? Because if you are, you won't share Jesus with them. Do you wish you could have the same things they have? Because if you do, you won't share Jesus with them. Do you wish that you could have their toys? Or do you wish they can have what you have been given, and that is eternal life? And if you know that you have eternal life and that you're going to heaven, to that glory land, you want other people to have that too. That's why we can share about God's works. We must speak. We will, like Asaph, want to tell others about God's works. So let me end in this way. I think one of the best pictures of reality that God has given to us is when we get the privilege every Sunday of participating in the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion. I just believe this is a wonderful way to have our human perspective changed into a heavenly one. Because when we're given communion meditations like Roger did today, or others that come up here, we are being reminded of God's picture that is ultimately real to us. That picture is simply that Jesus died in our place. He died as our substitute on the cross so that we don't have to pay the price of our sins by spending eternity in hell. That's the picture. Now, maybe your signals have been crossed and you thought about bailing on God. I want you to be thinking right now about your own life. I want you to examine yourself right now. And if you feel like you're far from God, draw near to Him. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to reframe your reality. If you need to repent, you can do so right now. If you need to be born again into the family of God, you can do that right now. If you want God to guide you and protect you and take you to glory, then you need to live and walk with Him right now, every day. We all need to make that decision and commitment. We walk with Him, and He will walk with us. I'm glad of that. God is with you, always.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.